Mr. Zabulovsky, we can't hear.
Yeah, thanks. Can't hear. Want to text Ari as well?
Do you hear now?
Yes.
I apologize.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay, no problem.
Thank you.
Okay, so we're going to say very quickly, obviously, the rest of the Bible is from the Aleph of Rav Asibu, who we are, Ilva Chassidus, and Cheney Puzzle. Even in a case where the Shaliach says before he nechtab on one of the signatures, and then he joins forces with the second aid on the other signature, it's still no good. My time. Kim the It turns out that the Shaliach is telling three quarters of the story. One signature he identified all by himself, let's say before he nechtab. The other signature he joined forces with the other aid. So he's telling 75%, the other aid telling 25%, that's no good. So Maskul Rav Ashi. Rav Ashi says, how can it means a full amount. Nachi Rav Damon means minus a quarter of Ramon. That's a Gemara way of saying three quarters. It means one minus a quarter. It's another way of saying three quarters. So Nachi Rav means minus a quarter. Apub Dechad Sada, based on the mouth of one aid. So Maskul Rav Ashi. Rav Ashi poses a question. Mika Midi, can you have such a case? The Ilu Masikle Il Kule Dibur, Akosha. If he would have just simply talked by himself, everything would have been okay. The more he brings along, the worse it is. It doesn't make any sense at all. So it's a nice fancy lumbus about the statistic, three quarters and fractions. But at the end of the day, it doesn't make any sense. It can't be that the more people who talk, the worse it gets. So Rav Ashi says as follows. He's talking the entire story. But he says as follows. He says, "Befarei nechtav, the whole thing. Befarei nechtav, the other one signature number one. And let me tell you about signature number two. I'm the guy. I am signature number two. So what kind of a statement is that? I am signature number two. So it's not a befarei nechtav. It's kind of, but it's not really. It doesn't say the magic words befarei nechtav. It's a kiyum shtaros type of a statement. I can walk in the maze and identify my signature." So comes in and says, this fellow has given us all the information. We know the get was written properly. We know signature one was Befarei Nechtav. We know signature two is hidden. What could possibly be wrong? Says the Gemara, my time up. O kula b'kiyum get, o kula b'tekaras l'chamim. You have to make up your mind. There are two different routes to be machshir get. Either you go down the route of kiyum shtaros, which is the regular route, the old-fashioned route, or if you want to avail yourself of the new takana tacham called Befarei Nechtav, that's also fine. You cannot mix and match. You can have, I'll take a little bit, one signature, I'm going to talk the language of Kiyum Shtaros. The other signature, I'm going to talk the language of Befarei Nechtav. That's not going to work. So that's the bottom line in the Mishnah. So the Gemara now analyzes, is that really true? Are these last two statements correct? So tonight, we're going to the Mishnah. Befarei Nechtav Kulo, Befarei Nechtav Chetzi Apostle. That's what the Mishnah told us, that the whole get is written b'fanei. Half the get was signed b'fanei. The Mishnah says it's possible. Either chetzer hechidami. What's going on with the second here? Something is being said about that second signature. About that second signature. Ilema the lake at the kamasa leklal. If you learn the simple pshat of Mishnah that nobody's identifying the second signature, that's the case. That's possible. Hash the echro b'fanechdom. The echro b'fanechdom. The high kamasa da kulaksiva. The high kamasa kulaksiva possible. Chetzer b'vaya. I don't need a Mishnah to tell me that. I need a Mishnah to tell me that the second signature is unidentified. The Mishnah says, even when everything is identified, but it's identified by two different people, that's also a problem. So how much more so if the second signature is not identified? Ella, obviously, what the Mishnah must mean is, O Kedrav Ashi. It must mean one of these Okimtas that we gave, either Rav's Okimta, that he's joining forces with another fellow, or of Ashi's Okimta, that he said the wrong Lashon. It must be that the Mishnah is hinting to the fact that even these cases where there is some kind of identification of the second signature is a problem. It can't be Rav Chisda told us. Rav Chisda was a tremendous chiddush. Rav Chisda said to us that there are two witnesses identifying the second signature. That's also possible. If the Mishnah meant to say Rav Chisda, I should have said Rav Chisda. Rav Chisda said a wild chiddush that the Mishnah wouldn't have been meramesh to it, wouldn't have hinted to it, it would have said it. So I'm like Rav Chisda. Nah, Rav Chisda said, don't bring any raya from the Lashon HaMishnah. Well, the time, according to you, you're making such a tumult about the Lashon HaMishnah. Why does the Mishnah have to say that nobody said anything about the Chasimahs? Of course, that's possible. That the Mishnah was just giving you one case and saying, not only is this possible, even the second case is possible. Don't be medayeg that the Mishnah meant to say that, oh, Hochma Ba'eskinon, there are two witnesses, there aren't two witnesses, there's another chassid. You're reading too much into the Mishnah. The Mishnah is giving you every single case that could possibly be possible. What is the din when you have half a chassidima and two other eidims? You gotta learn of chassid, run back and figure out what the answer to this question is. So I can't say we're gonna make a total siyum on the fainecha fainechdom, but at least for a little while, we're gonna leave actually not only fainecha fainechdom, we're gonna leave most of the second gittim for about the next daf or so. The Gemara is about to begin a whole brand new sugya, nothing at all to do with anything we've been talking about. The only reason why the next daf appears here in Gittin is because there's a similar theme to what we mentioned, that sometimes you can accomplish things in multiple ways. Like in the case of Get, I can either say b'fani nechta, or I can do kiyum sharos. You can't do both. You have to pick your path in halacha. If you want to get to the goal, you can't go half-baked because a little of this, a little of that. You got to go down one trajectory. So the Gemara is going to now run to different areas of halacha that have intrinsically nothing at all to do with Gittin, but have a similar kind of a style to them. So comes the Gemara, begins, Amr Chizda, Gidud Chamisha U'machitza Chamisha Eim Ekstafen. So this is, again, not to do with Gittin, it has to do with Hilchos Eruvin. There is a halacha in Hilchos Shabbos that if you want to make an area a Rishus HaYochid, in order to carry on Shabbos, an area has to be enclosed with walls. A special halacha of Moshe Sinai, that Rosh Hashanah is defined by an area that's surrounded with walls. And there is a halacha of Moshe Sinai, how large, how tall those walls have to be. The walls have to be a minimum of 10 tefachim. So we're talking about a tefach, depending exactly the air, somewhere between 3 to 4 inches. And you're talking about somewhere between 30 to 40 inches is the shear of 10 tefachim. That's the bare bone minimum of a wall for the purposes of Hilchos Shabbos. So it happens to be a halacha that a wall could be in one of two ways. Let's say this is the ground level, for example. So I could put up a wall, it's not a very long wall, but it could be a wall 10 tefachim above where the ground level is. Or you could actually have a wall below the ground level, like a ditch. If I have a something at the bottom, I dug a ditch underneath. So then we have a special halacha Moshe Sinai that the mechitza almost goes up to Shemaya. So even though I'm standing, I'm looking around, I'm not surrounded by any, I can't see anything. It looks like a pure ground level. If I'm surrounded on all sides by four ditches, so that is also considered halachically to be a wall. So take like the marshal, let's say a person is standing on a porch. So you're standing on your porch. So usually a porch has two mechitzas to it. It has the railing around it. So that's a mechitza, which is like a literally a mechitza. It also has the drop. It also has the steps are going down. As the area of the drop, which is also potentially 10 tefachim. So even if your railing fell down, you'll probably be permitted to carry the porch anyway because it's so, quote-unquote, surrounded not by walls, but surrounded by a gidur, by a drop. So either one of those halachas is acceptable for Eruvin.
There's a tremendous chiluk between something that's elevated on a platform to something that you call it, that someone would call a ditch. In other words, then his halacha is that if you build a platform 10 tefachim above the ground.
Right, absolutely right. That's also cool. You're carrying that platform. Okay, right. Same thing. Right. Same okay. idea. Same idea.
So it's not necessarily a ditch.
Yeah. I don't mean the ditch inside the ditch. I mean, it's a little misleading. I really meant, past the ditch. I mean, I'm standing on the ground level, and there's a hole beneath me, but that hole is 10 tefachim deep. Right. Okay. We'll use the platform motion better. Okay. So, but Amar of Chizda, one thing of Chizda says is, what if you have a gibud chamisha or bechitza chamisha? What if you have a drop of 5 tefachim, and an elevated mechitza of 5 tefachim. So if you respect it, 5 plus 5 equals 10. So Chizda says, Eibet Starfin, they don't join forces together. You cannot carry it. Why? Ache okula b'mechitza, okula b'gidud. Either one is good, but you can't have half and half. So comes the Gemara and says, even though Chizda made that statement, Darsh b'reimah b'reimah, gave a drasha that gidud chamish mechitza chamish al mitzdarfin, that it is mitzdarf together. Hilchasa mitzdarfin. It happens to be that Nuchas Erevin, we paskin that it is mitzdarif. So it's not exactly the same as with Gittin, but it made it into Gittin after his mother made because of the so much similarity. Mark continues, by Ilfa. Ilfa had the following shayla. Yadayim tahoros bechatzoyin or ein tahoros bechatzoyin. Can a person be mitahir, their hands, halfway or not? Now, taharos yadayim is a special takonis achamim that a person's hands are called stam yadayim askodiyos. We assume that hands are considered to be tummy. You know, it's not really minatora. Minatora, either my whole body's tummy or my whole body's not tummy. Those are shades half for a body being tummy. But with the rabbana, they made it takana primarily for the purposes of truma, and then they extended it to other things as well. That hands are considered to always be, since hands touch all kind of funny things and dirty things. So hands up in din are considered to be tummy, and hands can be metame truma. And that's part of the reason why we have a Tosa Dayim, as much as we're not eating Truma. Part of the mitzvah of Tosa Dayim that we have is a throwback to the halachas of Truma. So Ilf had the following shayla, when you're mitahir yadayim, so chazawa misakim and Tosa Dayim, so can you do it halfway or not? One of the words that mean, hechidami. Ilema the kamashu bei treimer v'yis. Does Ilf mean the following question? Chazawa misakim, that you have to wash your hands at Tosa Dayim with a revius of water. So a revius of water, different opinions, somewhere between 3, 4 ounces, 5 ounces, going to the Bachmirim, so X amount of water. In the olden days, it was very hard to always get a revius. You had to go, every drop of water was counted. You had to go to the well and slip that water. So people were a little bit more makele than Hilchas Tosa Dayim. Whereas today, Rosh Hashanah, turn up the faucet, you don't have to be so makele. It's a famous story about Shul Salanta. He was once washed in Tosa Dayim, and the Talmidim realized that he was being very, very, almost like cheap on the water. He was bekoshi washing with the revius. So they asked the Rebbe, you know, he's such a machmer and so many things, why are you being so makele on the revius? So he looked at there was a lady who was working in the house. Her job was to go to the well every time to fill up water. So he said, I've been making up those Tosidayim because I've been machmer the tsar of this woman. Because the more water that I spend, the more time I spend back to the well to wash. But for us, Baruch Hashem, we don't have to worry about that too much. So the Gemara has the following shayla. What's the din? You wash the Tosidayim, you have to use a revius. What if you have two people using one revius? So fill up water, and then I'll pour a little bit of the water on one person's hands, and a little bit of the rest of the water on somebody else's hands. So does that work? So maybe that's what Ilfa meant when he said, I'm really only using your hair for revius. So the Gemara says, yeah, that's okay. So we looked at the Mishnah, Maseches Yadayim. Revius not only Yadayim, that as long as you have a revius of water, you can use that for the Tosa Yadayim, and you can even use that to wash two people's hands. Because since you started out with a bucket, you started out with a cup of revius, so that could be used for multiple people. So that was not Ilfa's question, that was a Mishnah. So Ilfa's question must have been as follows. Maybe Ilfa meant as follows. I take some of the water and I wash one hand, so I dry it off, and come back 10 minutes later, I wash my other hand. Was that called the mitzvah of the Tosa Yadayim or not? Does the Tosa Yadayim have to be both hands at the same time? Or can you do it in parts? So is that what Ilfa meant? So says the Gemara, that's for sure not what Ilfa meant. That's also a Mishnah. But now we went to the Mishnah. Hanota yada achas meretila, achas b'shtifa yadav tahoros. There is a halacha when a person washes the Tosa Yadayim, there are two different ways of doing it. Either you can wash with a cup, 99.99% of the time, that's how we do it. Take a cup of water, you pour the water on the hands. But there's another way of doing it. If you put your hands into a mikvah, so that's also considered to be acceptable. That's what we call tefillas yadayim. And that's also acceptable. We try not to do it for as long as we usually have mikvosim floating around through our heads. The post can say we try to avoid doing that because there's a machlokes, and we show them what bracha do you make when you put your hands into the mikvah. Some say you make al tvilas yadayim, and some say you make al netilas yadayim. So I think Ari will appreciate this. I hope everyone will appreciate it. You'll probably appreciate it more than anybody else. So when I used to pick up my kids from carpool and Breuer's, so sometimes it was like a late mishmar or something. So it was like 5:30 or something. The kids would be hungry. I would bring them a pizza. And then they would jump into the car, but they had to wash the tills at 9 a.m. first. So sometimes the school building already at that point, the gate was already closed, but the kelim mikvah was always open. So I would let them go into the kelim mikvah and stick the hands into the kelim mikvah, and that was the tilas yadayim. They loved it. Now the truth is, there was a sink there also in the kelim mikvah, and there was a cup, and they really couldn't do the tilas yadayim, but they were so excited the first time when I told them that halacha. And for years they used to use it. I'm not going down that route, but they did do it. It's a good halacha to know something on a trip, something. So we're out like hiking somewhere. And you don't have a cup of any water. If there's, depending on what the body of water is, if it's a kosher of meat for something, it's like a spring or something, you can technically stick your hands into the spring itself and the yotzi actually emits somebody throws a diamond that way. So then you have a shot. Well, what did I tell them? I think I told them, I'm trying to remember, I probably told them to supposed to die for the excitement that she make that bracha, but I don't remember. You got to check with the kids, a long time. And the lightest side of Breuer is So the Mishnah says that one of you choose to do one hand with the Tefillah Shadayim and one hand with the Tefillah Shadayim. I would have told them that they probably would have done that also. The Mishnah says that's also okay. So says the Gemara, if the Mishnah permits you to do one hand with the Tefillah and one hand with Tefillah, so for sure you could do two hands with the Tefillah one after another. That's for sure not a question. So we're still not sure what the Ilfa mean. Ilfa throughout this question, what's the difference of halfway to Tefillah Shadayim? We have no idea what he's talking about. So the Elder Kamashi Palga Palga Didei. What he must have meant is as follows. I take a cup and I start doing the Tefillah Shadayim, but I don't wash my whole hand. I wash like part of my hand and then I dry wash that part of my hand and then I maneuver it and I wash the other half of the hand. I'm a little strange person. So is that count as the Tefillah Shadayim also? So maybe that's what Ilfa Shaila was. So says the Gemara, no, that can't be. Amri de Berbiyana, Yadayim ain't Taras Tachatzoy. Can't do that. It's not a game over here. It's not a plague of nonsense for the Tefillah Shadayim. You have to wash your whole hand. You can't wash half of the other half of the hand. So Yadayim ain't Tahor L'chatzoy. Why is that that Yadayim ain't Tahor L'chatzoy? It's probably related to the fact that you can't do Tefillah Saguf that way. Chazal instituted the Tefillah Shadayim. It's a mitzvah of the Rabbanan. But many of the halachas of Tefillah Shadayim were patterned after Tefillah Saguf. If a person is tummy, they want to go to the mikvah, I'll go, the water's a little cold, so I'll dip in one side of my body first, then I'll come out on the other side. You can't do that. You have to be told your entire body from head to toe. So the Tefillah Shadayim also can't be done halfway. So we're still stuck. What did Ilfa want from us? What was his question? Well, Tzrichadika Mashka Tefeyach. He says, no, maybe the case is as follows. That if a person washes half their hand, and they totally dry it off with Gamran, and they come back 10 minutes later, and wash the other half, there's no tzir, there's no connection between the first Netila and the second Netila. But what if your hands were still wet a little bit? They're what we call mashke tefech. There was still a little bit of water on the hands. So then maybe one can argue that little bit of water, maybe that's good enough. It's still one Netila. It's almost that little bit of water is mitzvah if it joins together the two different Netilos. So yes, that's not true. Chi'ika mashke tefech, my havin. Just simply a little bit of moisture, a little bit of wet water is not a tziruf in Hilchas Tahara. And here the Gemara jumps to other areas of Hilchas Tumah V'Tahara to prove to you that just a little bit of dampness, a little bit of moisture is not enough to join forces for the halachas of Hilchas Tumah V'Tahara. In what context is this? Vatran, we learned in the Mishnah. Hanitzah katafras umashke tefeach eino chibur lo l'tumah v'lo l'tahara. Hanitzah is pouring. Katafras is a little bit more than pouring. It's like a waterfall, water coming down a mountain. Those things, nitzah katafras, are not considered to be a chibor for the purposes of tumah nor for the purposes of tahara. What in the world does that mean? Let's say, for example, I have my bottle of water and I'm pouring my bottle of water into a kli, into a vessel, a utensil on the bottom. There's a stream of water and that kli on the bottom happens to be tumah. So all the water that comes into that kli is now going to become tumah. What about the water on top? What about all the water that's still in this bottle? Do I say that it's all mitzuref yachad? Once part of the water becomes tameh, then the entire flow, the entire stream becomes tameh. Although I say, no, that's not considered to be a tzirah for the purposes of tumah b'tahara. So that's what the Mishnah tells us. Nitzav is eino chibur. That's not considered to be a chibur. But what if it's a little bit more dramatic than a person pouring a bottle? It's a huge water, a whole water coming down the side of the mountain and it's going into a big, big barrel, and the barrel was tameh. So we don't say that the water on top of the mountain is considered to be tameh, because the katafras is not considered to be a chibur. And similarly, mashke tefeach is not considered to be a chibur. If I have a little puddle of a tummy water and a puddle of a tohar water, there's a little drop of moisture, a very minuscule amount of mashke tefeach between them, so they're not considered to be b'chubah yachad. So the bottom line is, in uchasim v'tara, just a little bit of moisture of water is not considered to be a chibur, it's not considered to be a mitzarif, and it's not considered to be a tziruf, as the Mishnah says, l'tum v'tara, that it doesn't join forces with his tahara as well. Let's say, for example, I have a mikvah that's kosher, and I have another very, very small drop of water near it. Is that also considered to be mechuba to the mikvah or not? So it has to be mitzuruf yachad, there has to be a special halacha called the chiba of that mikvah. If you have just a little bit of dampness between the two, that doesn't join forces in terms of his mikvahs as well. Or similarly, flowing water going down a mountain is not mitzuruf yachad. So if I have, let's say, a kosher mikvah on the bottom, and I have a posel mikvah on top, and there's water that's just going down the mountain between them, it's not a mitzare, it's not a mechaber, it doesn't join forces in Hilchos Mikvahs. It's the famous halacha of Hilchos called that nitzach in katafros is eino chibur. It's actually this Mishnah, particularly about the application of Hilchos Mikvahs, that may cost us hundreds of thousands of dollars, because this halacha, that katafros is not a chibur, it's a fair shemisha, everyone agrees to this did. When the water is flying down a mountain, so it's not considered to be a tzura of one to another. It was a big machlekes apostate in Europe, well over 100 years ago, about what if the water is not flying down a mountain, it's not moving down a mountain, it's two bodies of water that are actually stationary, but one is on top of another. Are they mechubar b'yachar or not? Is that a halacha, that can you join two bodies of water if one is placed on top of another? There was a famous chumra of the Dibre Chaim, the sons of Rav, who said that this halacha of katafras in the chibur teaches us that two bodies of water, one on top of another, don't join forces. They can never be crushed together. The only time things can join together in Hilchos Mikvahs is if they're next to each other. The Mishnayos and Mikvahs talk about joining bodies of water in Mikvahs. They have to be next to each other. Chibur doesn't go up and down. And probably everybody else said, someone says, it says water coming down Niagara Falls is not mitzuruf. That's what a katafras is. The fact that you have two bodies of water that are stationary, who says they don't join forces? So what does that have to do with that mikvahs? So this is the background of what we call the Lubavitcher mikvahs. That Chabad, for many years, have been building mikvahs in a very unique fashion. That most mikvahs are built with two boros next to one another. There's the bore with the rainwater in it, and there's the bore with the women of Tavelis in. We have leaving out all the details of this. But the idea has always been that when Mechaba, we join the two boros together, one next to another. So Chabad built one on top of another. It's a lot cheaper. It's a lot easier to deal with. You know, less complications. There's a whole cheshbon, Hilchos Mikvahs, why they do it that way. But they have the tradition of building one bar on top of another. So there were some who didn't like them. There were some who had issues and claimed that it's not a proper chibur and the whole mikvah is questionable. No one should worry about that. The Maisa, even the way Chabad builds Mikvahs today, they have other things that are going on now also to make things better. So the bottom line is even those who had issues with the Chabad Mikvahs 100 years ago probably have softened on them in the last 100 years. And a lot of the regular Mikvahs that are built the Chabad bottle also, in addition to the ones on the side, they build the one on the bottom to get some of the Hidur that the Chabad Mikvahs have. So you have strange phenomena. So you can have, there's a certain mikvah, not the Tidik, but there's a certain mikvah in Burton County that is built when the Chabad Chumras was built by Sat Mechassim. So it has the best, it's the best of both worlds, a little bit of Achlis. It has the Sat Mechumras and the Bab Chumras in all of them. So the whole issue, which could become a lot of money, you know, whether or not you accept some of these Chumras and Kulas, it costs a lot of money. All revolves around how to reach out this mission. But again, for our purposes, so these things are not considered to be a Chibur. So the Gemara says on the top of the Zayin Rebeis, that maybe what Ilfa was talking about is as follows. That we're trying to be a bit sorry if the water on the person's hands, but there's more than just a little bit of dampness. There's a lot of water. Tofech means that it's so wet that if I touch it, I'll make something else wet. That's the phrase tofech abnasra hatziach. So maybe that's what Ofer was driving at. But the guy's washing it till sidayim. It's a little strange guy. He's washing it till sidayim. So he washes half of his hands, and he dries it off for the most part, but not totally. And it's still pretty wet. It's not just a little moisture. It's wet enough that he can make something else wet. And then he goes ahead, 10 minutes later, he washes the other part of his hands. So do we say that the mashka, tofech abnasrat ziach, has the ability to be mitzarif together or not? So maybe that's what Ofer's shayla was. But Gemara says, even that wasn't a shayla. You know why? Hanami tadin. The Mishnah says, tofech asfiach is chibur. That is considered to be a chibur. So we are striking out very, very quickly on Ofer. So Ofer had the shayla. We have no idea what his case was. We know that he formulated the case by saying that what's the did? Halfway, Taras Yadayim. And every place we turn, there's a Mishnah has something to say about the topic. So the style of the Gemara is a little bit funny because it's Ilfa is raising a Shaila and we keep on attacking him for one Mishnah. Ilfa, what do you mean? It's a Mishnah, it's a Mishnah, it's a Mishnah. So it could be that the reason why the Gemara is doing this is a little bit Ilfa Lishitosa. There's a story in the Sanhedrin about Ilfa and Rabbi Yochanan. Ilfa and Rabbi Yochanan were friends. They lived in Yeshiva together. And then later in life, the Gemara says that Ilfa went out to business. He went out to work. He left the kollel. Rabbi Yochanan stayed on. Rabbi Yochanan eventually became Yeshiva, came to the door. So the Gemara says that Ilfa, in his later years, always had Chalish Sadas. He always felt like if he wouldn't have stayed on also, he would have also been... it's a common phenomenon that exists in his mind is also that kind of feeling. So the Gemara tells the story that Ilfa once said in his later years, he said that even when I left Yeshiva, not in business, he said, but you can ask me. He said, ask me any question, and I'll show it to the Mishnah. He had the Havana. At that time, the Gemara wasn't really written yet. The Gemara was first in the early stages of development, so it was really all the Mishnayos. So Ilfa said, anything you tell me, I'll show you, I'll bring the right to the Mishnah. So he had the Gemara saying, okay, here's the chance. So you have a Shaila. Everything in your Shaila is a Mishnah, it's a deek somewhere. So the Gemara said, Ilfa wasn't defending it. Nope, that's not what the Mishnah means. That's not what the Mishnah means. So we're still stuck. So unfortunately, we're left hanging on the catafras, trying to figure out what in the world is the case. We still have not identified properly what is Ilfa Shaila. Every single place we go seems to be a Mishnah. So the Gemara says, no, maybe that last Mishnah is not quite as simple as we thought it was. I think Gemara is going to take us down a little bit more of a detour. And Ilfa's big vault, so we don't have enough time now. We'll try to finish up that last point in the Shiur, and then we'll go on to the next. There's a couple of other these kind of interesting questions about halfway. So most of Shiva Bachum get the first introduction to Hilchas Mikvos on the Tzayin and Gittin. It's a long, long time. So this is their first intro, so there's a good chance for us to a little bit about, no pun intended, I think when, a little bit of, no shit tomorrow, we have to travel tomorrow, so tomorrow, Wednesday, we'll be back.